Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. I've interrupted your good mornings to each other. Thank you for being here today. We are in part four of a message series that actually ends next week, so make sure that you're here. And then I want to do a little commercial for myself. Beginning in October, I'm beginning what I think might be the most timely and important message series that we'll do, because it's going to address some things that I think are happening not only in our nation, not only in the lives of people you know, but in your life too. The message series is called I'm Not Okay, But I Will Be. And the series is about self-defeating thoughts, depression, suicidal thoughts, thoughts that the enemy uses and that our flesh consumes us with and keeps us from moving forward in victory in our marriage and in our finances and in our emotional health and in our spiritual health. And listen, even if you personally don't deal with self-defeating or destructive thoughts or depression or anything like that, there is someone, I promise you, very, very close to you who does, who might feel too much shame, embarrassment, pain to come to you. And if you create a culture and an environment in which there's freedom to explore that and talk about it and find deliverance from it, you might find that a lot of people begin to turn to you and seek God's peace from you. And so I don't want you to miss that. Bring a friend who might be struggling with depression, or maybe reach out to a family member that you know has dealt with that. It's not an easy subject. There's not going to be a magic wand that we wave and it makes it all go away. But listen, it's a battle worth fighting, and we're going to do that together starting in October. But be here next week, because we're going to finish up this series. So I've used up some of my time already, so I'm going to hop right in. We are having a discussion about things that you and I can act on. If we act in such a way and then repeat that action, we react, not react as in we try to counter an action, but we react as in we repeat that action over and over and over again. What we've been saying is that practice doesn't make perfect. You've seen people who are very well practiced and they're still not perfect. But practice does make permanent. You do something over and over enough and it becomes your second nature to do. Well, what if you and I could introduce righteous behaviors into our lives? And I'm talking about righteous in the way that it makes us right standing in our relationship with God. And when we're right standing in our relationship with God, it certainly positions us for a much easier life, because God has purposed us for good things. God has purposed us to lead and not to follow, to be the head and not the tail, to prosper and not to fail. God wants good things for your life. He's purposed and planned for you to have good things. But listen, sometimes you and I are our own worst enemy. We do the kind of things that keep us from experiencing that. So what if we could act in such a way and then react and react and react and do it over and over again until it becomes our second nature? It develops into our character. That would be beneficial for every single one of us. Now, I'm going to talk about something today, and we're going to move very, very quickly, because I sort of want to tell you the challenges of doing this behavior and then also the benefits of doing this behavior, and that is obedience. Obedience is not an adult concept. Obedience is something we must do as children, right? Obey your parents. If you are a parent of a young child, if you are a parent of a teenage child, you understand the concept of obedience is one that must be wrestled with and grappled with all the time. But listen, obedience is something we always hope to grow out of. We hope that when we reach a certain age, how many of you have 18-year-olds in your house? You're so weak, you can't even raise your hand. You're like, so exhausted. What do I need to do? 18-year-olds love the fact that they're 18, because someone got it in their head that once they turn 18, they no longer have to be obedient. They no longer have to follow your rules. And I said, as long as you live inside of, you see, I tell my kids, you don't own any cars. I own all the cars. And if you want to continue to drive one of my cars, then you will be obedient. Here are the rules that you must follow. But 18-year-olds, oh my gosh. Because they're legal adults, they think they can do absolutely anything. So we all think that at some age we get to grow out of obedience. As a current adult, The only reason you practice obedience is probably to avoid getting fired or getting arrested. Those are the two primary reasons to obey. Because how many of us would actually obey laws if there was literally no consequence to breaking those laws? And how many of us would show up at work on time if there wasn't any risk of getting fired or reprimanded? So when we become followers of Christ and we find out that obedience is one of the core disciplines of being a successful, thriving follower of Christ, here's what our default nature is to do the very least possible to get as much as we can from Christianity without actually having to engage in the discipline, the daily action of obedience. Christianity is hard because obedience is hard. And so we want to make it as easy as possible, but obedience requires some things of us. And I'm going to go through three things that obedience requires of us that, listen, you must have these three things at the very least in obedience for it to actually work and to be called obedience. Number one is this: my obedience is a daily discipline that continuously, maybe circle or underline that word, continuously requires, number one, my faith turn into love and my love grow into trust. My obedience is a daily discipline that continuously requires my faith turn into love and my love grow into trust. So there, how many have ever heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? He's got a book that's worth reading, several books, but there's a few that are very worth reading. He was an anti-Nazi activist who was alive during World War II and stood up against the evils of the Nazi regime. And he was a great pastor and a great theologian. And he once said this: only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. What he's saying is that true obedience comes from true faith. And the more you believe in God, the greater your obedience will be. And the greater your obedience, the more it will feed your faith in God. You'll actually see the rewards. He said, basically, unless you have a relationship with the rule giver, unless you believe in the heart and the benevolence and the kindness and the grace of the rule giver, you're not going to obey them. Let's be honest, the people who make our laws in our state, in our cities, in our nation, we don't know them. Not only do we not know them, we don't trust them at all. And we certainly don't love them. So the problem is, we don't think they have benevolent motives in making laws and rules for us. But you might think, well, I don't break laws even though I don't know them or what, I'm a rule follower. Let me ask you this. You're taking the kids to Disneyland and you're gonna drive because that's the economical way to do it. And you have to take 5 or 99 and you're heading south and you know that you've got a 7-hour trip ahead of you. Probably 8 with all the bathroom breaks and the I gotta go potties and I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. And so you're heading out and you need to get to Disney as fast as you can. You find out that all law enforcement is on strike and no one will be patrolling the highways. You gonna stick to 65? No! When I know there's cops on the highway, I'm like, I think I could do 75. Nobody's gonna get mad about that. If all the consequence was removed, you and I would be consistent and constant lawbreakers. We're even consistent and constant lawbreakers when there is the threat of consequence. But I want you to flip the scenario now. And now you're given a command by somebody who loves you. A parent who wants to see you avoid peril and harm and danger. Someone who wants to see you live to experience your highest and best purpose in life. And they say, I'm telling you this not because I want to control you and not because I want to manipulate you. You know their heart and they know your heart. There is intimacy there and they give you a command. You're not now bound by fear of consequence. You're bound by a loving relationship in which you just trust the heart and the motives of the rule giver. That has a binding power in our lives that's far more powerful than the fear of consequence. And Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. The helper is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And I know it's hard to be obedient. So I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to you, who will reside in you and camp out in your life and give you guidance and wisdom and conviction when you're doing the wrong thing, so that you don't have to obey all on the strength of your flesh. We have to be in that relationship. The Scottish theologian Sinclair Ferguson once said this, be obedient even when you do not know where obedience may lead you. My obedience is a daily discipline that continuously requires, number two, me to reject any version of obedience that isn't complete and constant. Obedience requires me to reject any version of obedience that isn't complete and constant. So you got a teenager, they're getting ready to go to a sleepover and it's going to be a bunch of friends over there and you don't know a lot of these kids, and before they leave you say, if I let you go, you have to promise that you won't drink or do any drugs or get in a vehicle with anyone who does. Now, which part of that do you want them to disobey? Pick, just pick any part of it. Which of that do you want them to disobey? Which is the safe part to disobey? None of it. You want them to obey completely. You sit down with your little child who's just lied to you and you say, listen, if you do something wrong, I want you to always be honest with me. Always be honest with me, no matter what you do. What percentage of time would you like them to obey that command? 40% of the time? 100% of the time. You want honesty all the time, not to be selective and say, well, the thing I did, trust me, you don't want to know about. You want to know. You want honesty. You want 100% obedience 100% of the time. You see, partial or part-time obedience isn't actually obedience at all. It's just selective rebellion. When you and I are only partially obedient or obedient part of the time, we are just being selective about our rebellion. And I have to tell you, that's not a good way to be in the favor and the blessing of God. Jesus said this, Luke 6:46, why do you keep saying I'm your Lord when you refuse to do what I say? As Christ followers, how do you and I claim to be Christ followers and call Jesus the Lord of our life if we're not even doing what Jesus tells us to do?
But I thought that if I came to church on Sundays that Jesus was happy with me. And then I could go live like a pagan all week long.
Listen, I see it all the time. Christians who are Christians, right up to the point where whatever the Word of God tells them to do that is inconvenient and pushes back on their lifestyle, then all of a sudden they become these armchair theologians who have decided that part of God's word is simply not current, it's not relevant for today. Somebody must have gotten a hold of the Bible and done something and twisted it, because certainly God loves me enough, he wants me to get away and do whatever I want to do. Soren Kierkegaard, the great philosopher and theologian, once said this, it's so hard to believe because it's so hard to obey. Isn't it funny that people only believe the selective part of the Bible that lines up with what they want to do, and then when it doesn't line up with what they want to do, all of a sudden they don't believe that part of the Bible? We constantly adjust our beliefs around what we're willing to obey in God's word. Romans 6:16 says this, surely you know that you become the slaves of whatever you give yourselves to. We're already obeying something. Anything or anyone you follow will be your master. You can follow sin or you can obey God. Following sin brings spiritual death, but obeying God makes you right with him. Listen, when you are rebelling against God, you are obeying sin, and there is a consequence to doing that. We have to stop reading the Bible at home or coming here and hearing God's word and then walking out of here and treating God's commands as if they're kind, polite suggestions for our life. They are not. They are God's commands for our highest and best. But we don't get the option of rebelling and staying in the umbrella of God's favor and grace. Listen, when you rebel against God's word, you are in the act of sin. That is what Adam and Eve did. They weren't trying to break relationship with God. They were just trying to get what they wanted. But it caused so much pain and so much destruction and set the world on end because of their choice. Listen to what James 1:22 says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts." Not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning. I like this English proverb that says, the ship that will not obey the helm will have to obey the rocks. You have to choose who you're going to obey and then live with the consequences of that. Number three is this. Oh, my dear Lord, we got to keep going. My obedience is a daily discipline that continuously requires. I'm enjoying my message so much. I want to keep going. Continuously requires, number three, me to put everything on the daily altar of sacrifice. I hate to use the word sacrifice and obedience in the same message because I know everybody's brains are like, I got to obey and sacrifice. Obedience is a big enough pill to swallow. Sacrifice is a word that we hate more than even obedience. But listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24 through 26. He said to his disciples, if you truly want to follow me, you should completely reject and disown your own life. See, because Jesus had to establish that you can't pick the part of your lives that you want to keep and then pick the part of me that you want to follow. You must be willing to share my cross and experiences as your own as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you'll continually discover true life. See what Jesus is doing there? He's setting up the idea that if we lay down our stuff, we pick up his stuff. His stuff's always better than our stuff. Did you ever have that friend in grade school? You go to their house, their toys were always better than your toys. You're like, I want your toys. I'll trade you. They're like, why would I trade you for your crappy toys? They know they've got good toys. God doesn't want to trade us, right? Or God does want to trade us. He goes, you give me your crappy toys, I'll give you better toys. But you got to be willing to give up the crappy toys. If there are kids in the room, too bad, you should have been in children's church. All right. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, crap. There. All right. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep. In other words, even if you try to keep it, you're not going to get to keep it. For even if you were to gain all the wealth and the power with everything that the world could offer you, at the cost of your own life, what good would that be? In other words, you sacrifice your soul to get stuff, and that what could be more valuable than your own soul? Jesus said, if you want to do it my way, you have to give up your way. But if you want your way, you can't then ask me for my way. Even Jesus had to pray these words, not my will, but yours be done. If Jesus has to pray that every day, Jesus doesn't have to pray that but every day, but if Jesus had to pray that, how much more do you and I need to pray that every day? So here, let's shift gears now. We're going to do this very quickly. I'll become passionate about pursuing obedience. Because all of that sounds very difficult, but here's what's going to switch you into a passion of obedience. I'll become passionate about pursuing obedience when I start believing, number one, God always, always, always rewards obedience. He always rewards obedience. There's always a reward for obedience. Sometimes you and I get discouraged because we do things and nobody was there to see it. Right? So we were at the Lincoln High homecoming game, and we used to have a billboard on what was 193 and is now Lincoln Boulevard, and they for a very long time have allowed brush and stuff to grow in front of it. So I've been in this bit of a battle with them, and recently, about a month ago, I sent them an email, and I just said, we're not paying you anymore for the billboard. You can't charge us for a billboard that nobody can see. It's dumb for us to pay for a billboard nobody can see. So we're done. And they're like, you can't do that. You're in a contract. And I said, watch me. You're just not going to get any more checks from us, right? And so I don't recommend it unless you have a good attorney. But anyway, we did it. And finally, they just came back and said, okay, you're out of the contract. So we had some marketing money that had been budgeted for that. And I was like, that marketing money got freed up, and so we made a donation at the Lincoln High football game to help them. We're investing in the school, and which we frequently do in our schools here, and they needed a new mascot, and so we gave some money towards that. And I was like, this will be good. There's a big crowd of people here. It's a homecoming game. They're going to say our name over there. It'll be put goodwill into the community. And they're like, I want to thank Summit Church for their donation. Yeah, let's thank Summit Church. And I was like, well, that was disappointing. It was like no crowd reaction. You know, it was kind of, you want to do something good and you kind of want the recognition for doing the good thing. And I think God was like, nope, you're not getting it. I know why you're doing it. You're not getting any reaction from the crowd at all. And that's sometimes discouraging. So we go, I'm not doing anything nice anymore if I'm not getting credit for it. I want you to hear, though, that God always, always, always rewards obedience. This is worth sort of writing down if you can. The consequences of our disobedience will always poison our life and, listen to me, the lives of other people. Your disobedience always affects other people, always. Your family, your friends, people that care about you. It will affect people you don't even know. The circumference, the radius of your disobedience will always affect the people around you. But conversely, the reward for our obedience will bring God's favor to our life and to the lives of people around us. Not only will God favor you with blessings in your life for obedience, but other people will be blessed by it as well. Romans 5:19 says this, one man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinner. Adam's sin affected all of us. So also one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. Adam sinned and it affected us all. Jesus obeyed God's will for his life, laid his life down on the cross, and all of us benefit from salvation. That's how it works, is your disobedience will always affect people and your obedience will always affect people. Jesus gives a clear commandment of obedience and then he lines out the reward and consequence. Listen to what it says in Luke 6:37-38. Forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others, here's the command, and then you'll not be criticized and judged in return. Don't look at others and pronounce them guilty. And you will not experience guilt or guilty accusations yourself. Forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. You see how he's giving the command and then the reward? Give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Jesus says, when you follow my commands and do what I tell you to do, which is to love others and forgive others and bless others and not return hate for hate or evil for evil, when you do these things, I've set you up to receive the reward of those things. And not only will you receive them, if you give a dollar, you'll get 10 back, is the way Jesus said it. I will bless you abundantly more than you even invested. So when you're generous, I'm going to be even more generous to you. Number two is this. I'll become passionate about pursuing obedience when I start believing that obedience lets me see God's heart and hear his voice with clarity and confidence. Lets me see his heart and hear his voice with clarity and confidence. Can't count the number of people who've said, I wish I could hear God speak to me. I hear people in church say God spoke to them, and I read it in the Bible that God spoke to them. I wish I could hear God speak to me. I want to know God's will. And they're saying it with sincerity. It's not that I don't believe that they don't think they're trying and doing everything possible. Have you had a moment in raising your kids in which they've done something wrong? And maybe they're even stubbornly refusing to recognize the significance of what they've done wrong. You've disciplined them. You've sent them to their room. They're grounded. You know how there's that tension? Maybe not you. Maybe you're ready to reengage in relationship, but them, they're mad. They're sulking. They're pouting. They're distant. You can't have intimate relationship when there is disobedience standing in the way. So here's what happens. You and I want to know the will and the voice of God, but we don't want to exclude the disobedience that's putting distance between us and God. The reason that God speaks very clearly to some people is because there is right relationship. Because when we stand in the presence of God and when we're in right relationship with the presence of God, then you can see God and hear God. The closer you are to Him, the more you could see Him and hear Him, right? I'm getting old enough that, I mean, I had my hearing tested like a year ago and the doctor said, "Your hearing's perfect," which just means I'm now ignoring Lisa. That must be the ultimate conclusion, because there's 100 times I go, "I didn't hear you say that," which just means I've tuned you out. It's not that God isn't speaking clearly or loudly to us, it's that we've tuned Him out. I don't think I'm doing it on purpose, but what's actually happening is I'm prioritizing listening to something else more than prioritizing listening to her. Whether it's something I'm watching on my iPad or something I'm watching on TV or something I'm listening to or I'm thinking about, the point is that I'm just simply tuning her out. Jesus said this in John 5:19 through 20, "The Son can do nothing by Himself," referring to Himself. "He does only what He sees the Father doing," and in the same way. So He goes, not only do I do nothing by myself, I do everything God tells me to do, and I do it exactly as He tells me to do it. "For the Father loves the Son and tells Him everything He's doing. And the Son will do far more awesome miracles than this man's healing." Jesus just got done healing a man on the Sabbath. And He tells all these religious leaders who are freaking out, "Listen, I'm only doing what the Father tells me to do, and I do it exactly as He tells me to do, and He loves me, so He tells me everything He's doing, and I just do that." Jesus was close to the Father and therefore heard the Father and saw the Father and could emulate the Father. And if you and I want to know God's perfect plan for our life, we simply live in obedience, we grow close to Him, we have a loving relationship with Him, we don't try to hide our rebellion, we find forgiveness for our rebellion, and we get close to God so that we can know His will, because God is always speaking to you. It's just we have the waxy buildup of disobedience in our ears. Third and finally is this: I'll become passionate about pursuing obedience when I start believing that obedience predicts and secures my future. So the news is starting to kind of hint and infer that an economic slowdown is coming, that it's possible that we might be slipping into another recession. It's not the first time the news would have predicted the future, and they're typically wrong more than they're right. But you and I watch and we listen and we begin to worry and we begin to plan and we begin to predict and we begin to do more worrying and more planning because we think we can somehow prepare ourselves for whatever's coming. And so we try to do our own predictions, and we're usually wrong too. But as Christ followers, we're not driven by rumors of war. Right? Scripture talks about wars and rumors of wars. We're not driven by fear of the future as the world is, because they have no hope. You and I, though, we place our trust in Christ and believe that God has planned beyond tomorrow for us. That God knows our finances, that God knows our situation, that God knows our needs, and He's planned for us. As followers of Christ, we have the promise to not only make our future predictable, that it's also going to be secure. Have you ever had your little toddler or young child, and they see something that makes them fearful, and they get caught up in that fearful moment, and they want to be reassured by you, mom or dad, that it's going to be okay? Because you understand the strength and the power of this little thing, and it's not significant enough to change anything. And you go, "Honey, it's going to be okay. It's all right. It's okay." The other night, we had a dragonfly in the house. And it's about this big, but it sounded like a helicopter landing in our house. And it was banging off the ceiling, and Lisa just runs out of the house. I was sitting on the back patio, and she just runs out of the, "There's a dragonfly in the house." And it was night, so the dragonfly was attracted to the light. And I was like, "All right, calm down." And I flipped off the light, and the dragonfly dropped to the ground. and I pummeled him with something. Like, kill, oh, knock it off. Like, ah, he's one of God's creatures. He came into the wrong house. And I pulled out my gun and I shot him 6 or 7 times. There's no charges being filed. The police said he had it coming. But this little dragonfly had Lisa in a state of fear. But I wasn't afraid. I'm not afraid of insects or things like that. And so it really just took someone who had perspective to step in. The angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. He said, this is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me, because this wasn't the first time that Abraham had heard from God. Abraham heard from God to tell him, when his name was Abram, get up, pack up your family, and go. There's a promised life for you that you won't even be able to imagine. Because you have obeyed me and not even withheld your son, your only son. God had called him to sacrifice his son, which God stopped him right before he did. I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. Not only will you have great offspring, but they will all be successful. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Listen to me. God has a plan for your life, but you can't get there on a path of disobedience. God has a plan for your life and promises for your life to bless you and not to harm you. But if you step in the way of God's plan for your life and you establish your own purposes and you establish your own plans and you rebel against the plans of God, can I tell you that you welcome consequence into your life? If you drive faster than the speed limit, not only could you get a ticket, you could get in an accident. Listen, you may not have been caught yet. The consequences may not have caught up to you yet, but I promise you, you are investing and sowing seed into consequence. But when you invest into obedience and you get close to the ear and the mouth and the heart and the mind of God and you tell him, Lord, I give you everything. I surrender it all to you. I lay it down to you, just like Abraham did with Isaac. And you say, if you call me to give up everything, I will do it. God will stop you in that moment and say, I believe every word you said. I believe that you would have gone through with it. And now I want to bless you. And not only do I want to bless you, I want to bless generations to come. Not only will you prosper, your kids will prosper, and their kids will prosper, and their kids will prosper. And the fights they get into, they will win. The battles against depression, they will win. The battles against divorce, they will win, because when God begins to bless, God wants to bless everybody in your life because of it. Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me if you will. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to maybe what God's challenging you to do. Listen, your disobedience is probably so secret and so private that most of us would not know. I mean, there are times when disobedience is evident, but the hardest disobedience to overcome is the one that's not seen by the people around us and doesn't have immediate measurable consequence, because we sort of feel liberated to keep doing it over and over and over again. The question isn't, how disobedient are you? The question is, how obedient do you want to be? Because partial obedience and part-time obedience isn't enough. It's just selective rebellion. We don't get to pick apart the Word of God and say, I believe that because that's easy for me to follow. I don't believe that because that's what I struggle with. That's what I want to do. So I don't believe God means that. We have to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word alone. And if you would say this, listen, I know there are areas of my life that I'm trying to be selective and I'm not living in full obedience, and I want to change that today. I want to start fresh today. I want to put that disobedience behind me, and even the disobedience that nobody knows about, issues in my heart and issues in my mind. gossip, hate, slander, bitterness, rage, addiction, lust, all the things that swim inside of our hearts and minds that don't necessarily have a tangible thing that we can point to. Everything you know is holding you back. You say, I lay it here, and tomorrow I'll lay it there, and tomorrow again, and tomorrow again, and after that, and I'll continue to lay it at the feet of God, and I'll pick up His plan for my life. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and say, yeah, that's my decision today. Wow. God, thank you. Thank you for every single person that recognizes where they stand in their relationship with you, but more importantly, recognizes they don't want to stay there. They want to move forward. God, I want to join them in this journey. There's so many times that you've called me to things, and I feel like it's a do you want to do this? You can just say no to me if you don't, and I get to select it like choosing a restaurant. But when you call me to anything, when you call any of us to anything, it's not so that we can just not be bored or be entertained. It's so that we can experience the promises and the purposes of our life. It is obedience all the time. And there's so much reward in obedience. Let us see the joy of obedience instead of trying to avoid it. My prayer is, God, that a week from now, a month from now, and a year from now, we have all these markers, these milestones of how our obedience has impacted our lives. We can share that. We can count the blessings of people around us because of our own obedience, and we give you praise for it now as if it's already been done as we begin this new journey with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.